time of violence, the agony of which has just been detailed for us again in the current release of the Warren Commission report. In such a time, we try to realize the importance of the primary natural forces of life that we have lost. It is difficult, if not impossible, in this industrial technological age to find these natural forces. Today, our cities reveal mainly the increasing absence of trees, open space, animals. So it is a great pleasure to present an important poet whose work cuts back to what he calls in his program note the most archaic values on earth, the fertility of the soil, the magic of animals, the power vision in solitude, the terrifying initiation and rebirth, the love and ecstasy of the dance, the common work of the tribe. I'm very glad to welcome Gary Snyder.
First of all, I'm going to read a few translations that I did recently from a Japanese poet who died in the 1930s. His name was Kenji Miyazawa. He was never very well known in Japan, except as a writer of children's stories, and he never belonged to the Japanese literary world at all. He lived all his life in the mountains of northern Japan, a bleak, cold region, lived among the farmers for a long time as a high school teacher of chemistry and geology, natural sciences, and was something of a self-taught agrarian anarchist, also a Buddhist. And his poems are sometimes interesting for the combination of Western natural science type notions and some of the imagery of Buddhism. This is called Cloud Semaphore. Ah, it's great, clear, clean, wind blowing, farm tools twinkling, vague mountains, lava plug, magma, all in a dream where there's no time. When cloud semaphores were already hung in the stark blue east, the vague mountains, wild geese will come down to the Four Cedars tonight. This is called Floating World Picture, Spring in the Kitagami Mountains. Nobody at the edge of the fire pit. Snow boots and jute leggings. White birch flaming. Jetting out sour hot sap. A child sings the kite song, skinning badgers. House pillars gleaming with soot. The sheer ceiling, full of the blue smoke of breakfast. Vault of a temple. One shaft of sunlight shooting down, and all is at the bottom in that sensual beam of light. Spring. At the chilly horse barn, glimmer of dry hay and snow. Yearning for sunny hills, the horses stamp their hooves. The willow sets out flowers. Birds flow over hill after hill. Horses hurry. Hot breathed Anglo Arab. Glistening light-bodied thoroughbred. Transparent cuneiform wind in the stiff, gloomy limbs of the walnut. A dog rustles the bamboo grass. Heavy workhorse, flashing his tufty tail like a monstrous lizard navigating in the sun. Horses, one by one coming, chewing at the edge of the marl, climbing under the misty run of snowmelt, under a malachite sky. Bright, noisy market, being led to the stud inspection center. There aren't any other poets in Japanese that write quite that way, quite so directly and simply, in a sense. At least I haven't read any modern poets in Japan with that sense, which is refers back to Chinese poetry on the one hand, but has something modern in it working too. This is a kind of a funny little one called Cow. An Ayrshire cow playing, rubbing her horns in the grass, in the misty soil. At her back the pulp factory fires scorch the night clouds. Over low dunes the sea booms. A brass moon like you could scoop up and swallow. So the cow feels pretty good playing now, tapping the fence with her horns. This is Distant Labor. This poem is about as close as Miyazawa gets to a political protest statement. It's quite subtle, but in Japanese it's strong. Beyond the pampas grass flowers and the dark grove, a new sort of wind is blowing through dazzling, wrinkly cloud fretwork and spring sun with a shiver of strange odors. And from the hill behind the empty creek and the barely rising black smoke of the tile works, a big cheerful racket. Listening from the farmer's fields, it seems pleasant enough work, all right. But every night Chuichi comes home from there exhausted and bad-tempered. This is called The Politicians. Running around here and there, stirring up trouble and bothering people, a bunch of lushes, fern leaves and cloud. The world is that chilly and dark. Before long, that sort will up and rot all by themselves and be washed away by the rain, and afterwards only green fern. And when humanity is laid out in coal, somewhere some earnest geologist will note them in his notebook. This is called Daydreaming on the Trail. A lonely stretch in the bind of poor fishing and drought, following the ocean, crossing pass after pass, fields of wild reeds, I've come this far alone. Dozing in the pale sun on the sand of a dried up riverbed, back and shoulder chilled, something bothering me. I think at that last quartzite pass, I left the oak gate in the fence of the cow pasture open, probably because I was hurrying. A white gate. Did I leave it as I found it or not? Light, cool sky. The mistletoe on a chestnut floats in vision. Many layered clouds upriver. Cool lattice of sunlight. Some unknown big bird calling faintly. Croak, croak. And one more of these. This one is a protest. This is written in the 1930s, remember. This is probably written about 1931 or 2, when Japanese militarism was first beginning to operate so that you could feel it back in the villages. It's called Orders. The minus one infantry company leaves bivouac at 1 a.m., from the present row of pine advancing in a southerly direction, over there, that black tree standing alone, proceed to set your course by the green star visible, two fingers to the right of the top of it, toward the headwaters. and attack and destroy the glow of the lights from the town. Leader of platoon number one, you can swallow down your great sleepiness while marching. Now, at the environs of the municipality, in the swamp running along the edge of the roadside trees, water lily and junsai, and swamp fire flickering on and off, no need to bother about that. Very well. You all understand. End of orders. I think those poems are kind of fun. None of them have ever been published yet. I think one or two has, but most of them haven't. Now, the rest of the poems I'm going to read today, none of them have ever been published in a book. Most of them have appeared in various little magazines here and there. Some of them have never been published. And most of them come from, well, everything in this group is a manuscript that I'm going to publish sometime next spring, I hope. These poems were all written within the last 5 or 6 years. Some of them written within the last 3 weeks. This is called The Spring. This is a work poem. Beating asphalt into highway potholes, pickup truck weed loaded, road repair stock shed and yard, a day so hot the asphalt went in soft. Pipe and steel plate tamper, took turns at by hand, then drive the truck rear wheel a few times back and forth across the fill, finish it off with bitch mow around the edge. The foreman said, let's get a drink. And drove through woods and flower fields, shovels clattering in back, into a black grove by a cliff, a rocked-in pool, feeding a fern ravine, tin can to drink, numbing the hand and cramping in the gut, surging through the fingers from below, and dark here. Let's go back to the truck, get back on the job. Oil. This is also kind of a work poem. It's a formal little tanker poem. Soft rain swells on the... Soft rain squalls on the swells south of the Bonins late at night. Light from the empty mess hall throws back bulky shadows of winch and fairlead over the slanting fantail where I stand. But for men on watch in the engine room, the man at the wheel, the lookout in the bow, the crew sleeps in cots on deck or narrow iron bunks down drumming passageways below. The ship burns with a furnace heart, steam veins and copper nerves, quivers and slightly twists and always goes, easy roll of the hull and deep vibration of the turbine underfoot, bearing what all these crazed, hooked nations need, steel plates and long injections of pure oil. This poem is called Foxtail Pine. It's kind of an epistemological poem for foresters. theory of knowledge and how you identify trees. Bark smells like pineapple, Jeffries. Cones prick your hand, Ponderosa. Nobody knows what they are, saying needles three to a bunch. Turpentine tin can hangers, high lead riggers. The true fir cone stands straight, the dug fir cone hangs down. Wild pigs eat acorns in those hills, cascara cutters, tan bark oak bark gatherers, myrtle wood burl bowl makers, little cedar dolls, baby girl born from the split crotch of a plum, daughter of the moon. Foxtail pine with a clipped curve back cluster of tight five needle bunches, the rough red bark scale, and jigsaw pieces sloughed off, scattered on the ground. What am I doing saying foxtail pine? Those conifers whose home was ice, age tundra, taiga, they of the naked sperm. Do white bark pine and white pine seem the same? A sort of tree, its leaves are needles, like a fox's brush. I call him fox because he looks that way, and call this other thing a foxtail pine. This is a poem after the Chinese of my imagination, which means it's in the form of a Chinese poem. It's an attempt to catch the rhythm of a type of Chinese poem. The beat of Chinese poetry is either usually seven characters to a line, or five characters to a line. If it's a five-character line, the beat is two, and then a caesura, and then three. If it's a four-character line, it's four, a caesura, and then three. That with a slight pause between the first two. So I was messing around. I did this in English slightly. August on sourdough, a visit from Dick Brewer. You hitched 1,000 miles north from San Francisco, hiked up the mountainside a mile in the air. A little cabin, one room, walled in glass, meadows and snowfields, hundreds of peaks. We lay in our sleeping bags, talking half the night. Wind in the guy cables, summer mountain rain. Next morning I went with you as far as the cliffs. Loaned you my poncho, the rain across the shale. You down the snowfield, flapping in the wind, waving a last goodbye, half hidden in the clouds. To go on hitching, clear to New York. I back to my mountain and far, far west. And now something in a little different tone. It's called 7-7, seventh day of the seventh month. A poem for cities. I can't look out over cities without thinking of carpenters, plumbers, hod carriers, cement mixer truck drivers, plasterers. How many hours were they paid for to build up Seattle or Portland, which has such dark carpets, such white fur skulls, skeleton lathe behind plaster laid on so cool, creamy under the trowel, dries to a powder, spidery lines, block bricks, shake roofs, San Francisco white stair-step up roof lines, stucco and tile houses laid out in rows in the sunset, photos after the quake, the weird frames of half-broken buildings, lunch pails in unfinished walls. How long since eyes laid on that rafter? In the hills they cast mud and fire it for roof tiles, the gray waves of Kyoto. High school kids study their English or math in cramped ceilinged second floor rooms to the racket of looms on the ground floor, the shimmering heat of the sun facing southward scree roof. New buildings, reinforced concrete strung full of wiring and piping, plant in the basement, walls knock in the night, laundry ghosts chatter on flat modern roofs looking off at the shrine forest hills. The drainage of streets, hollow mountains in rows, noisy with alien molecules burning at speeds past belief, how they sift, how they clutter. Layers of Mohenjo-Daro, nine cities deep, a kiln at the end of the age built out in the street. Forests are covered with mud and asbestos, the riverbeds sucked up and cast into plates hung on melted down oxides. Mankind, your bowels are as grinding and heavy as those which forced leaves into coal, burned sand to obsidian, You draw up and lead along water. Your arm rises and falls. You break through things as they are. Now, I'm going to shift gears into Japan. These poems I'm going to read now all come from Japan, the scene there. Yase. That's where I lived for a while. September. Old Mrs. Kawabata cuts down the tall spike weeds more in 2 hours than I can get done in a day. Out of a mountain of grass and thistle, she saved 5 dusty stalks of ragged wild blue flower and put them in my kitchen in a jug. The public bath. In Japan, there's always a public bath in 10 minutes walk in some direction from you. Since the 1870s or so, men and women have been segregated in the public bath. That was to satisfy the taste of the Westerners that were coming there. Although the children, up to about the age of 8 or 9, go freely on either side, and the area where you dress and undress before going into the bath part is curiously not very segregated. So these poems were based on observations while attending the public bath over a period of several years. It's a little serious. The bath girl. The person that takes the money and sells you soap and razors if you need them is usually a young woman about 18. Getting dressed in the mirror, the bath girl with a pretty mole and a red skirt is watching me. Am I different? The baby boy. On his back, dashed with scalding water, silent, moving eyes, inscrutably pees. The daughters. Gripping and scrubbing his 2 little daughters, they squirm, shriek at soap in the eye, wring out their own hair with grave, wifely hands, peek at me, point while he soaps up and washes their plump little tight-lipped pussies, peers in their ears, and dunks them in hot tile tub with a brown, burnt farm boy, a shriveled old man, and a student who sings Silent Night. We waver and float like seaweed, pink flesh in the steamy light. The old woman, too fat and too old to care, she just stands there, idly knocking dewy water off her bush. And the young woman, gazing vacant, drying her neck, faint fuzz of hair, little points of breasts. Next year she'll be dressing out of sight. The men, squatting, soapy and limber, smooth, dense skin, long muscles. I see dead men naked, tumbled on beaches, newsreels, the war. Kyushu, the southernmost major island of Japan, is almost all volcanic. And at the very center of the island is an enormous caldera with an active cone in the center of that, which looks like hell when you look down into it. It's a beautiful picture of the inferno, smoke and steam and mineral-streaked rock. It's a great place for Japanese tourists to come. Also, Kyushu is where Nagasaki is, one of the 2 cities that was atom bombed. And when you're traveling around in that part of Japan, you often see people with the keloids, the scars, the radiation burns. So, this poem is gearing into something that happened in Kyushu and the history of the atom bomb. Mount Aso, uplands, horses, rimrock. The sightseeing buses crammed to view bare rock, brown grass, space, sulfury cliffs, streaked snow. Whiffing the fumaroles, a noseless, shiny, mouth-twisted, middle-aged man. Blue jeans, check shirt, silver buckle, J. Robert Oppenheimer, 20 years ago, watching bulldozers tearing down pines at Los Alamos. Here's a little poem in the Chinese style. A spring night in Shokokuji. 8 years ago this May, we walked under cherry blossoms at night in an orchard in Oregon. All that I wanted then is forgotten now, but you. Here in the night, in a garden of the old capital, I feel the trembling ghost of Yugao. I remember your cool body, naked under a summer cotton dress. And the last of the poems that relate to Japan is called The Firing. It's dedicated to Les Blakebro and John Chappell, two friends of mine in Kyoto, who are potters. The firing is firing the kiln, of course. Les Blakebro is an Australian. He's back in Australia now, running a kiln there. And John Chappell was an Englishman. And he was killed in Australia in a motorcycle accident the day that the copy of this poem arrived in Australia when I mailed it to him. So it's a curious poem to me in that it somehow, written a week before his death, contained the prophecy of his death in a funny way. Now there's some language in here that you might not follow. There are two terms, saggers and seegers. Saggers are the fire clay cylinders that are used in the kiln for containing the pieces that are going to be fired or in some way to support them. And seegers are little cones of specially prepared clay which melt at known temperatures and can be observed through a peephole so that when a specific cone bends over, you know that the kiln has hit, say, 1200 degrees. And when the next cone bends over, then you know it's up at 1400 degrees. It's how potters keep track of the temperature inside the kiln. So, the firing. Bitter blue fingers. Winter, 1963 A.D., Showa 38. Over a low pine-covered splay of hills in Shiga, west-southwest of the outlet of Lake Biwa, Domura village set on sandy fans of the sweep and turn of a river, draining the rotten granite hills up Shinaraki, on a 1957 Honda cycle Model C, rode with some Yamanashi wine, St. Neige, into the farmyard and a bellowing kiln. Les and John, in ragged shirts and pants, dried slip, stuck to with pine needle pitch, dust, hair, wood chips, sending the final slivers of yellowy pine through peephole white blast glow. No saggers tilting yet, and seegers bending neatly in a row. Even their beards caked up with mud and soot, firing for 14 hours. How does she go? Porcelain and stoneware, cheese dish, 20 cups, tokuri, vases, black chawan, cross-legged rest on the dirt, eye cocked to smoke. The hands you laid on clay, kick-wheeled, curling, creamed to the lip of nothing, and coaxed to a white dancing heat that day, will linger centuries in these towns and loams, and speak to men or beasts, when Japanese and English are dead tongues. Now, I'm not done yet. Let's see. Now I'm going to shift into another area, which is not a place. These are more poems that go into the mind and less out into any particular landscape. Well, let's see. It's a little long. I'll start with this one. This has got a title that's rather long. Mother of the Buddhas, Queen of Heaven, Mother of the Sun, Marichi, Goddess of the Dawn. This poem is dedicated to Bhikkhu Gosananda, a Cambodian bhikkhu in India. The title refers to a minor tantric Buddhist deity who is now extinct. Deities go out of fashion. But she was, as the title says, Mother of the Buddhas, Queen of Heaven, Mother of the Sun. Her emblem was the pig. And her vehicle was the pig. She's represented in sculpture as riding a great wild boar, stark naked, very beautiful, with thunderbolts and swords in her hands. And I saw a statue of her in India, in the middle of a field, half buried, miles from anywhere, near the ruins of an old Buddhist temple that was destroyed in the 10th century by the Turks. So, old sow in the mud, bristles caked black down her powerful neck. Tiny hooves churn, squat body slithering deep in food dirt. Her warm filth, deep plowing snout, dragging teats. Those who keep her or eat her are cast out. She turns her small eye from earth to look up at me. This poem is called The Manichaeans. It's a kind of love poem. Our portion of fire at this end of the Milky Way, the Dunhuang fragments say eternal light. 2 million years from M31, the galaxy in Andromeda. My eyes sting with these relics. Fingers mark time. Semen is everywhere. 2 million seeds in a spurt. Bringing hand close to your belly, a shade off touching until it feels the radiating warmth. Your far-off laughter is an earthquake in your thigh. Coiled like Ouroboros, we are the Naga King. This bed is eternal chaos, and wake in a stream of light. Cable car cables whip over their greased rollers 2 feet underground. Hemmed in by mysteries, all moving in order, a moment at this wide intersection, stoplights change, they are catastrophes among stars, a red whorl of minotaurs gone out. The trumpet of doom from a steamship at Pier 41. Your room is cold, in the shade drawn dusk inside, light the oven, leave it open, semi-transparent jet flames rise, fire. Together we make 8 pounds of pure white mineral ash. Your body is fossil as you rest with your chin back. Your arms are still flippers. Your lidded eyes lift from a swamp. Let us touch, for if two lie together, then they have warmth. We shall sink in this heat of our arms, blankets like rock strata fold, dreaming as Shiva and Shakti, and keep back the cold. This is a little jest. More better. Uncle, oh uncle, 70 dogs, all centipede, bit me in bed. Wind in the red leaf berry tree, whining. Bull, you are too brown. The persimmon was too fat. The tree, its branches too bent down. Now, I'm going to read one selection from a long poem in progress called Mountains and Rivers Without End. Then I'm going to go back to some other shorter poems. This is a part of a long poem I'm working on and have been working on for some time, which takes San Francisco as its center, in a sense, and moves out over the world. Some of the images in this come from the huge public market in Saigon, in Vietnam. The reason I tell you this is only because Saigon is of particular interest right now, and it has a beautiful public market, one of the nicest I've ever seen in any country. The market. Heart of the city, downtown, the country side. John Muir, up before dawn, packing pears in the best boxes, beat out the others to market, the Crystal Palace, on the morning milk run train. Me, milk bottles by bike, Guernsey milk, 6% butterfat, raw and left to rise natural, 10 cents a quart, slipped on the frost turning into a driveway and broke all 9 bottles. When we had cows, a feathery hemlock out back by manure pile where one cow once lay with milk fever, transfusions, and worries until the vet come, we do this still dark in the morning. Part 2. To town on high, thin-wheeled carts, squat on the box-top stall, papaya, banana, sliced fish, grated ginger, fruit for fish, meat for flowers, French bread for ladle, steamer, tea giant, rough glaze earthware, for brass shrine bowls. Push through fish, bound pullets lay on their sides, wet slab, watch us with glimmering eye, slosh, water. A carrot, a lettuce, a ball of cooked noodle. Beggars hang by the flower stall. Give them all some. Strong woman, dirt from the hills in her nails. Valley, thatch, houses, palm groves for hedges. Rice field and thrasher to white rice. Dongs and piastres to market. The changes, how much is our change? Part 3. 75 feet hoed rows equals 1 hour explaining power steering equals 2 big crayfish equals all the buttermilk you can drink equals 12 pounds of cauliflower equals 5 cartons of Greek olives equals hitchhiking from Ogden, Utah to Burns, Oregon equals aspirin, iodine, and bandages equals a lay in Naples equals beef, equals lamb ribs, equals patna, long grain rice, 8 pounds, equals 2 kilograms soybeans, equals a boxwood geisha comb, equals the whole family at the movies, equals whipping dirty clothes on rocks 3 days, some Indian river, equals piecing off beggars for 2 weeks, equals bootlace and shoelace, equals 1 gross inflatable plastic pillows, equals a large box of pettifor, shokram, barley threshing, mangoes, apples, custard apples, raspberries, equals picking 3 flat strawberries, equals a Christmas tree equals a taxi ride. Carrots, daikon, eggplant, green peppers, oregano, white goat cheese, equals fresh-eyed bonito, live clams, a swordfish, a salmon, a handful of silvery smelt in the pocket, whiskey in cars, out late after dates, old folks eating cake in secret. Breast milk enough if the belly be fed. And wash down. Hose off aisles, reach under fruit stands, green gross rack, meat scum on chop blocks, bloody butcher concrete floor, old knives sharpened down to scalpels, brown wrap paper rolls, stiff push broom back, wet spilled food. When the market is closed, the cleanup comes, equals a billy goat pushing through people, stinking and grabbing a cabbage, arrogant, tough, he took it, they let him. Kathmandu, the market. I gave a man 70 pice in return for a clay pot of curds. Was it worth it? How can I tell? Part 4. They eat feces in the dark on stone floors. One-legged animals, hopping cows, limping dogs, blind cats, crunching garbage in the market, broken fingers, cabbage, head on the ground. Who has young face, open pit eyes, between the bullock carts and people, head pivot with the footsteps passing by, dark scrotum spilled on the street, penis laid by his thigh, torso turns with the sun. I came to buy a few bananas by the Ganges while waiting for my wife. So, continued next week, that particular point. Now, the last few poems I'm going to read are recent poems, quite recent. This is called The Old Dutch Woman. The old Dutch woman would spend half a day pacing the backyard where I lived in a fixed-up shed. What did she see? Wet leaves, the rotten tilted over, over-heavy heads of domesticated flowers. I knew paintbrush. Nature was mountains, snowfields, glaciers and cliffs. White granite waves underfoot. Heian ladies, trained to the world of the garden, poetry, lovers slipped in with at night. My grandmother standing wordless, 15 minutes between rows of loganberries, clippers poised in her hand. New leaves on the climbing rose, planted last fall. Tiny bugs eating the green, like once watching mountain goats far over the valley, half into the shade of the head wall, pick their way over the snow. This is 7/4/64, written last April. In the Pacific Ocean, about 2 days off of Panama. It's kind of funny. Up at dawn, sweep the deck and empty garbage, chip paint down below. All my friends have children, and I'm getting old, at least enough to be a first mate or an engineer. Now I know I'll never be a PhD. Dumping oily buckets in the middle of the ocean. Swirls of dried paint drips, white, silver, blue, and green down the outside, full of oil, rags, wet paint slosh coils, marbled grease and cream. This is called Across Lamarck Call. A call, for those of you who do not know what a call is it's not a pass, but it's a notch that one can go through in a mountain ridge, but nobody would in his right senses unless he was a mountaineer. It's something that cannot be passed or crossed by trail, but it is conceivably crossable. Across Lamarck Call. Lamarck Call actually is in the Evolution Basin. Descending hillsides in half morning light, step over small down pine. I see myself as stony granite face. All that we did was human, stupid, easily forgiven, not quite right. A giving stream you give another should have been mine. Had I been not me, to whom not given, who most needed, waited, stopped off, my me, my fault, your black block, mine, ours, myself as stony granite face, you giving him because an other, I also now become another, what I had not from you, for you, with a new lover, give and give and give. And take. And the last poem I'm going to read is called Through the Smoke Hole. This poem is dedicated to Don Allen. I think before I read this, I'll read a short prose thing. Just a very short thing on the smoke hole. The symbolism of the smoke hole is derived, of course, from the Pueblo and Navajo Kiva, Pueblo Kiva, the ceremonial underground chamber that the secret societies of the Kivas meet in, and the entrance is through a hole down the ladder, as indeed most Indian houses always were. In California, that was true too. You went out a ladder through the smoke hole. You came in up on the roof, down through the smoke, and down the ladder. So I'll read this first. There is another world above this one, or outside of this one. The way to it is through the smoke of this one, the hole that smoke goes through. The ladder is the way through the smoke hole. The ladder holds up, some say, the world above. It might have been a tree or pole. I think it is merely a way. Fire is at the foot of the ladder. The fire is in the center. The walls are round. There is also another world below or inside this one. The way there is down through smoke. It is not necessary to think of a series. Raven and magpie do not need the ladder. They fly through the smoke holes, shrieking and stealing. Coyote falls through. We recognize him only as a clumsy relative. A father in old clothes we don't wish to see with our friends. It is possible to cultivate the fields of our own world without much thought for the others. When many merge from below, we see them as the masked dancers of our magic dreams. When men disappear down, we see them as plain men going somewhere else. When men disappear up, we see them as great heroes shining through the smoke. When men come back from above, they fall through and tumble. We don't really know them. Coyote, as mentioned above. Okay. Through the smoke hole for Don. Out of the Kiva come masked dancers or plain men. Plain men go into the ground. Out there, outside, all the chores, wood and water, dirt, wind, the view across the flat, here in the round, no corners, head is full of magic figures. Woman, your secrets aren't my secrets. What I can't say I won't. Walk round, put my hand flap down, you in the round too. Gourd, vine, blossom, walls and houses drawn up from the same soft soil. 30 million years gone, drifting sand, cool rooms, pink stone, worn down fort floor, slapped siding, heat shine on Jumna River, dry wash, truck tracks in the riverbed, coiled sand, pinyon, a sea bottom, a riverbank, sand dunes, the floor of a sea once again. Human fertilizer, underground water tunnels, skinny dirt gods, grandmother berries, out through the smoke hole, where childhood and youth are vanity. A Permian reef of algae, out through the smoke hole. Swallowed sand, salt mud, swum bodies, flap to the limestone blanket. Lizard tongue, wah, 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 flying in and out through the smoke hole. Plain men come out of the ground. That's all.